Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Raw Spiel, where we keep it real with the hard truth. Now, I have with me, we'll get right to business. I have help me host the show, Pastor Bolden of Bolivar, Tennessee, the pastor of God's Truth and Deliverance Ministry. Thank you for coming on again.
All right, thank you for having me.
Oh yeah, we go get right to it. If you don't mind, we go talk about race war in America. And if y'all don't mind, I'm now we go keep it real. We just go keep this thing real. And I'm gonna start off with the Black Lives Matter, the hypocrisy of Black Lives Matter. And it was interesting. I'm gonna go off what I listened to somebody some time ago was they made a few points about it, and I want to add to it. They were saying, "Oh no, Black Lives Matter," but you're selling drugs in your own community. So where's the Black Lives Matter in all that? They said Black Lives Matter, but you're killing one another. You're killing each other in your own community. You don't hardly see any protesting, any marching behind that. But you say Black Lives Matter. Do Black Lives Matter when your fellas when you cause these women to be single parents? They have to raise your they're raising your son, your sons and your daughters by herself. Well, where's the Black Lives Matter when it comes down to that? And you got 11, 12-year-old boys laying in the bed with their mama. That's another topic right there. Now, y'all don't mind, I want to add to that. How about that little 4-year-old black girl that died from a stray bullet? I know you probably hear stuff like that all the time, but I didn't see no protesting behind that. Innocent folks. An innocent little girl lost her life over a stray bullet. She had nothing to do with that. Did y'all say her name? Y'all always talking about say their name, but are y'all saying her name? Only time Black Lives Matter is when a white person kills somebody black. That's when we want to. That's when you want to protest. That's when you want to march. When a white person kill a black person, that's when Black Lives Matter. What about down here in St. Petersburg, Florida? They were protesting near a restaurant. A couple was outside in the patio and trying to enjoy their meal. One of the protesters came by and tried to intimidate the patrons. They were just minding their business, trying to eat, trying to enjoy their meal. And here come a Black Lives protester. I mean, he was real aggressive to the woman. Now, first, I don't know if the man didn't have a gun on him or what, but I tell you, if he start shooting, that'd have broke all that up. So that's your Black Lives Matter movement there. Just in my opinion, it seemed like just nothing but a just a bunch of thugs. It's a big game. Okay, Black Lives Matter. Okay, it should matter. Now, if you say all lives matter, oh, that's a problem now. Huh? You're prejudiced. You're a bigot. Saying all lives matter, but once we come to realize, what Ephesians 6 and 12 say. that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spirits of wickedness in high places. So I don't think people are realizing that.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. You look at our blood, it looks the same. The only difference between us, no, we just have no different skin tones, no different hair texture in our hair, but yet and still, you know, we have a problem with each other because our skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
None of that makes sense. This even planted years ago, and it's just multiplying over and over and over. Yeah. So we need to realize this is not a, again, we're not, when this ain't flesh and blood we're fighting, but a lot of people feel like that's it, but it's deeper than that. This is a spiritual battle, and you're not going to fight it with your flesh. Yeah. You want to add some of that?
Yeah, I think that's a really valid point that you're making, how a lot of times, because people are not spiritual-minded, they tend to look at the natural side of things. And I'm telling you, you know, it's been my experience that nothing makes sense, really, in this world if you do not accept the idea that we are in a spiritual war. And so because we're in a spiritual war, we have to know that spirits don't have a color. Spirits don't care anything about skin tone. You know, when you're talking about, let's just say, for instance, you know, since we're talking about Black Lives Matter, when you're talking about police brutality, you know, and different things like that, if a person has that in them to take a life, it, you know, that's just a spirit that's a murderous spirit. It doesn't matter if the skin tone of the person is darker or if it's lighter or anything like that. You know, it's a spirit that's out for life. And so if especially for us as believers, we have to come to a place where we you know, the Bible says that no man running a race entangle or fighting a war entangle himself in the affairs of this world. In other words, the scripture that you used earlier, we as believers, we live above, we live above this natural realm where we are able to see what's going on spiritually speaking, and not just naturally speaking. And so we have to see beyond that. We have to see what's actually going on. It's not what people make it to be. That's just on the forefront. And, you know, it's amazing how people can become so conditioned, you know, and really just going off of what the news and the media feed them. And that's what they're basing their belief system off of, instead of doing what the Bible says and looking at things spiritually. You know, I saw something that was pretty sad the other day. My wife and I, we were in a town, and we were running some errands, I saw on the back of this truck, it says, it was a bumper sticker that says, "I support my local police." And of course, you know, that's in, when you see things like that now, you it's almost like people now are being made to pick sides. Who do we support, law enforcement, or do we support Black lives? You know, as if you can't support them both. You know, and that's the whole thing. What I do not like about the Black Lives Matter hypocrisy, it keeps things in a natural sense. And what it really does to me, as far as I'm concerned, is it causes division. I don't want Black people being killed, but I also don't want police officers being killed. And so me not wanting Black people killed don't automatically mean I'm against police officers. And me being for police officers don't automatically mean that I'm against, that I'm for black people being killed. And so to me, you have to be a narrow-minded individual to think that it's got to be one side or the other. We could just decide in our hearts and our minds that we're going to be spiritual about the matter, that, you know, it's more to it than what is being portrayed in the media. And I noticed also, Brother Harold, a lot of times when this stuff is going on, it's usually around election time. You know, really, a lot of this has been going on. You know, a lot of this has been going on. But what happens is the media put it in the news and things like that for political reasons. And to me, is to keep the people divided, you know.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I was living at their Rittenhouse trial. He was killed some people over there in Wisconsin. But we're going to find out, you know, he ain't shooting nobody black.
Yeah.
But yet still, you had your Black Lives Matter there just protesting. I mean, what are y'all protesting about? It seems like they just you're looking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody black was killed. And he didn't shoot nobody black, but yet still, you know, y'all out there protesting. Maybe mm-hmm. the argument is if it was a black teenager, you know, he'll serve some time. But we don't know that. So it just seemed like that organization is just looking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I can't speak for nobody else. I just refuse to be a victim.
Mm-hmm.
I know God is much bigger than that. Okay, I'm not naive. I know there's some racism out there or what have you. But I believe God is much bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they wanna shut you down because of your skin color, whatever. Okay, you God is watching over you. They can't stop you.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all can have all the all this here, you know, you're tearing up neighborhoods. For what? You're tearing up the community that you live in, that you shop at. All for what?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're doing this to yourself. Now you think about it, Black Lives Matter. Do it really.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, and another thing I was thinking about here, you know, sometimes these black ladies, they'll call each other the female dog. You know that name. We keep it clean. We see they call each other itches,
mm-hmm.
and it don't help either when you see all that junk on reality TV. Oh, I'm the real itch. This all you itches. But let somebody else call you that, you ready to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But Black Lives Matter. You don't have no respect for yourself,
mm-hmm.
but you want everybody to show you respect.
Mm-hmm.
Also with the fellas, you know, they some of the women too. They call each other the N word. We just use the word nickels.
Mm-hmm.
What's up, my nickel? You man, you're a true nickel. but you let somebody else that outside your race that you don't know call you that. You ready to fight.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have no respect for your own self.
Mm-hmm.
So how you want to expect someone else to show you any respect?
Mm-hmm.
You've been very hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
With you protesting when you're killing your own self. You selling drugs in your own community.
Mm-hmm.
You making these women raise your child by themselves. Sometimes they got to go and get assistance because you just got what you wanted, and skipped town. But black life matters. Okay, why don't you start there? And take responsibility for your own actions.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to go over a few things about the Rittenhouse trial since you brought it up, because you know it's funny how if you just understand how the media is a machine that is designed to control the thinking of people. And you know they have a way of putting certain things out there to make you think, you know, a certain way, and really to stir the hearts of the people for their own agenda. So I had wrote down a few things concerning what was learned in the Rittenhouse trial that was not made public, you know, and basically it caused people to pass judgment of how that young man was supposed to be, I guess, supposed to be convicted before they even heard all of the facts. So I'm gonna just go over a few facts about that trial, just to share how the media does things. So one of the first things that was brought out is the fact that Kyle, the young man, he had actually put out a dumpster fire that was being rolled down to a gas station to blow it up with people around. Another thing was, you know, that we were told in the media was that he was down there looking for trouble and that his mama drove him across state lines to cause trouble and things like that. But what people don't know is that Kyle's dad, his grandma, and his friends live in Kenosha, which is 20 minutes from where he resided with his mom. So there was a reason why he was there. He had relatives that were there, including his dad. Another thing was that Joseph Rosenbaum knocked him down twice and then attempted to kick him with lethal force to the head. Now, here's another thing we have to think about. If he was down there to just kill somebody and to do them harm, why is he running with an assault rifle away from people? Let's think about that. Most of us saw the footage of the shooting. And the first thing we see in this footage is him actually running away from people. Now, if he just had it in him where he was just out to kill somebody that night, he would have just stood his ground. Why are you going to run if you got an assault rifle and you know it's loaded? So if he just wanted to kill somebody, he could just stood flat-footed and not ran at all. You see, so that was another thing. He was hit in the head twice by one guy with a skateboard. In the state of Wisconsin, it is legal to have a gun at the age of 17. That's why the gun charge was dismissed. Because legally, he could own a gun in that state. It's several other things. But the idea is this, you know, and I could go on and on with this list. But the idea is this, you know, as people, we have to be free thinkers and quit letting the news media dictate what we think. Read the whole story. You know, get the whole story before you pass judgment on things. You know, other than that, we're just allowing the media to dictate our thought process, you know, and to even stir up anger. You know, I don't, just like what you said, to me, all lives matter. And I don't think there need to be a movement for Black Lives Matter, because you know as well as I do is hypocrisy. Why wasn't this group of Black Lives Matter formed when Black people been killing Black people? You know, to me, if Black Lives Matter, then it should matter when somebody else, when we kill our own. Now, I'm going to say this. Black Lives Matter as well when they're being killed in the womb. So why not go and protest down there at the abortion clinic? Those are Black lives. Those young people aren't being able even allowed to start living good. You know, yeah, you could definitely see the hypocrisy in all of that.
Yes, indeed. I don't know if I gave out the number. The number 941 745-1490. 941-745-1490 is the number to call to get on the show. And email address is info@therawspiel.com. That's info@therawspiel.com. Feel free to email the show with your questions, concerns, or maybe it's something you want to hear. Maybe you have a question that you want us to answer over there. Just feel free to email the show. And I want to touch on some of these police shootings too. That's sometimes you hear these police, you know, they talking about, they shot because they feared for their life. That seemed to be very common. I shot them because I feared for my life. I feared for my life. I'm thinking if you that scary, you don't need to be a police officer. That's even more scary that you know you got a scary cat that has a gun. That's the more concerning part right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know reading the Bible said that God didn't give us the spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something terribly wrong there. You as a police officer, you know, you now don't get me wrong, y'all. I appreciate what they do. I respect what they do. But good grace, I seen like they shot that man in Minnesota in the car. The man was, police was shooting in the car. He was shaking and trembling. I said, man, I don't know if training go help that.
Mm-hmm.
That if you got that kind of much fear in you, don't be a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
You that's scared. And then on the other hand, you know, you got some good ones out there. And I'm just thinking about maybe a couple of years ago, I think that's up in Ohio, where that boy, 11, 12 years old, had a toy gun. It looked real. Now some of these toy guns, they look like the real thing. In all fairness, you know, there's an uproar behind that. No black boy swinging, you know, flashing a toy gun. You know, that got called in, the police show up. They have no idea. No, they I give it to them now. The police, they trying to go home too.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk up on somebody swinging a, flashing a gun. What you think gonna happen?
Mm-hmm.
So don't get mad at the police for shooting. And now I stand that that's somebody's son. And I'm not being, you know, insensitive about it. But if you do something like that, what do you expect? Now y'all can come after the fact. Oh, they had that little orange tip. Now he should know. No, he don't know. The police sometimes they have a split second to make a decision. Now you walk around with a toy BB gun and you get shot. That's on you. That's your fault. Ain't no need to be screaming no racism then.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to use common sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know who to blame on that. The parents, maybe he had good parents. Maybe just, you know, just bare knucklehead and we just want to show he hard, show he bad. Mm-hmm. No flashing around a toy gun at a park. You go get what you get.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I found what's his name, Mike Brown, whatever they once you, like you said, like on the news, they're lying. Well, what's his name? Was that Mike Brown? They talking about he said hands up, don't shoot. That come to find out that was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you said, it's just all of the media is really. They doing a good job playing on your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to do a little research. No, get all the truth. You have to find out all the facts first. But before you start marching, protesting, and I surely hope there ain't no saints out there marching and protesting and rioting. I think now I ain't say be naive to it, but I don't no, I don't need to see Sister Sarah out there, out there marching on old Brother Joe Lee out there. Protesting and marching and tearing up stuff, man. That's another way to handle that kind of stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think, it's amazing to me the climate that have been set, and you think about just like what you were saying about the police officers and how they some of them are walking in fear and saying that they were afraid for their life. And I believe just what you said, to me, if you're afraid for your life in that manner where you are just itchy like that, then maybe you shouldn't be a police officer. And one things I think about is that I feel like there has been a climate that has been created to spark fear between the police community and the black community. And I'm not saying that, there aren't things that need to be worked out, but I think that that's exactly what needs to happen. Things need to be worked out. I think that there need to be some trust established between police officers and the community in general. But to me, marching and protesting, that don't fix anything. And I feel like, marching after the fact, that definitely don't fix anything. If all you're doing is sitting around waiting on something else to happen so you can go march and things like that, that's not going to fix anything. So I think that I'm gonna just say this. There are people, just thinking about what you had brought up about race baiting. There are people that benefit on over the division. There are a group of people in power that benefit because of the division. And I'm gonna just share this. There was a man who was born in 18, I think 1887 or either 1889. I think it was 1887. He fought in World War I. But the country that he fought for lost that war, and so he was unemployed. He wanted to be an artist, a paint artist. But there was hardly any money in it for him. He made a little money, but not enough to really live off of. And so when the war was over, World War I, he wanted a job. And so for job security, he was encouraged to start spreading propaganda about a certain group of people. And it wasn't that he believed the propaganda up front. The idea was, this is what I have to do to keep my job in the military. So he became a propaganda officer, literally. And his job was to make one group of people fearful of another group of people. And so when he saw how it moved him up the ranks and he was able to gain favor with people and he be even became the leader of this particular group of people, he started actually, even though he didn't believe it at first or believe in it, he started taking on that belief system because he saw spreading propaganda leads to power and job security. And so, of course, we know this. And so eventually it catapulted him into becoming the leader of a nation. And the man I'm talking about is Adolf Hitler. The tactics that he used, propaganda. That he understood if I spread propaganda, it causes division, and me causing division leads to me staying in power and having my own gain from it. And I feel like, honestly, to be honest with you, Brother Harold, that is what has happened with Black Lives Matter. That is what happened with race baiters. it keeps them employed. It gives them it gives them job security.
Oh, yeah.
You know, spreading division and spreading propaganda among people, it is guaranteed job security. So, you know, just like the medical field, they're not interested in fixing the problem, because if they fix the problem, they're going to be out of a job. If they fix the problem, they're not going to be able to raise money. And so, no, we can't fix the problem. We got to make you think. We're not saying that there isn't a problem, but that problem getting magnified, you know, for you know, on purpose and for that purpose, you know. And so as long as there, you know, that's the genius of it. Let's create a problem. Let's make a problem bigger than what it is. And you know, and then hire ourselves, basically, you know, and get people to give us money because we've magnified this problem. We're not going to fix it. We're not interested in fixing it. But just putting it out there, just, you know, just putting it out there, that's going to keep us in job security. And listen, we've been falling for that for years. We've been falling for that for years. You know, I refuse to believe that every person that's not my skin tone is a racist. I refuse to believe that every police officer is just against me. You know, when I encounter the police, I'm not automatically assuming that I'm going to get pulled over. I'm not saying that there aren't crooked police out there. I'm sure they're out there. But to me, people are people. You got good people. You got bad people. You're going to run into them in all walks of life. And so there are bad. I understand that there are some police officers who may be having a bad day, who may be rogue. But me personally, as a believer, I feel like God is my protector.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the way I feel. I don't, you know, I don't get nervous when I see a police officer. I don't turn on the church, the Christian radio station when one of them's driving behind me. I just keep driving because I'm not breaking the law. You know, mm-hmm. And I just, me personally, I just depend on God to keep me alive, to keep me safe, you know. And I don't think bad about police officers in general. I don't group them all together. I don't think they're out to get me. You know, we read in the book of Romans how they don't bear the sword in vain. They're ministers against evildoers. And me personally, I know I'm not an evildoer. And I'm not saying that they ain't never done nothing wrong to somebody that was innocent. I'm saying I put my trust in God. But that's not, you know, so I'm not going to have this fear every time I see a police officer. I remember some years ago, I had my children in the car with me. They were real little. And I had them in the car with me, and I got pulled over. And I got a ticket. And, you know, I didn't give the man no flat. You know, the police officer, he pulled me over. He gave me a ticket, and I kept driving. And my children, one of my daughters said, "Daddy, he pulled you over because you were black, huh?" I said, "No, sweetheart, we're going to fix that right now." He didn't pull me over because I was black. He pulled me over because I was going 18 miles over the speed limit. And so I don't want your mind to be trained. You know, he did what he was supposed to do. And, you know, and so I used that to teach her a lesson. I was in the wrong. I was in the wrong. I promised the Lord that day I'll never speed again. If I can help it, I'll never speed again. You know, I learned my lesson. And so I repented to the Lord of that. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the speeding ticket was supposed to be about $350. But, you know, when I called the lady to pay it, you know, she said, "You know, the Lord really must be on your side, because we reduced the charge and you only owe us $150 or something like that." Now, I feel like if I had been hard headed and just stubborn and I just felt like I had been done so wrong, he could have let me go. I think I'd have had to pay that $350 ticket. But I just think it was a lesson for me to be learned. And I think that's one of the things we have to understand. People got a job to do, you know.
Oh, yeah.
People got a job to do. And so we have to keep that in mind when it comes to like what you're talking about, race baiters and things like that. You know, these people, they need racism to exist, and they need it to, they want to magnify it in our minds so that for their own job security. That sells in their world, you see that. And apparently it gets in a lot of our hearts to where, you know, I'm going to say this concerning Black Lives Matter. if I take that stand and I pit myself against a group of people, how am I any better than the racist himself? You know, I can become a racist by disliking a racist. You know, the Bible don't tell me to hate people. It tell me to pray for my enemy. And so if I perceive that I have an enemy, then it's my job to pray for him. Not, it don't say nothing about marching against them. It don't say nothing about protesting. It says to pray. And so that's my stand on that matter.
Oh, yeah. I think one of your race bears, first name come to mind is Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
They can't help themselves. They got to be in the middle of it. Yeah. Somebody was telling me before I got on the air about J. Edgar Hoover. I just briefly reading up on it. Back in the day, FBI was trying to set up some black leaders. No, the infiltrator. A way to control the black community. So it's all about, that race baiting is they got to stay, like you said, they got to stay busy. But I mean, we all sing Kumbaya, them the Al Sharpton's and the Jesse Jackson, boy, they got a look, they can't travel nowhere. You know, no matter where it is, they in the lead, they there. So I guess those they supposed to be our black leaders, I guess. But they ain't leading me. I don't look up to them fellas as no leaders. I just shame to say that they did a bunch of race baiters.
Mm-hmm.
That's. You know that's how I see them as, but which is unfortunate. You know what? Like you said, they got to keep their racism alive.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. It's not even as big as it's put out to be,
mm-hmm.
but. Hey, they need a check. They got to be in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
They especially those two right there. Man, the number to dial again is 941-745-1490. 941-745-1490. If you want to be on the air, email address and info@therawspiel.com. That is info@therawspiel.com. It's just unfortunate that I'm about to get real raw, right? I'm about to get real raw and uncut if y'all can handle it. You know, it's a shame when people get, you know, stereotyped because of your skin tone and your nationality or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you hear people say, I don't date black women because they got a nasty attitude. That's why I don't deal with them. That's why I don't deal with these black women. Man, they just, boy, the attitude is just so nasty. I don't want no black lady. They got a nasty stink attitude. I don't want that. Okay. I got something for that. You can find you a Vietnamese woman. A woman from the UK. Maybe find you an Australian lady. Get you a Russian lady. How about a Puerto Rican? Cuban lady. Get your lady from Canada. Vietnam. Did I say South Korea? Get your South African woman. What's another good one? Get your lady from Thailand. And so you're trying to tell me none of those women in that culture, they're not gonna give you no lip. That stubbornness, that so-called nasty attitude that's in black women, it's not in them either. It's not in the women in Russia. It's not in the women in the UK. It's not in the women in China or Japan. So the very thing you trying to avoid in a black woman, you okay, that's fine. That's your cup of tea. Hey, I don't see nothing wrong with it. But you think dating a Vietnamese woman, you're not gonna hear no mouth. I got news for you. That's all over. That's all over. Get your Australian woman. Get your Canadian woman. That's fine. But that same with rebellious spirit, it's all over. It don't just stop in the black female. So don't please don't let that be the reason. I mean, you're gonna see somebody outside the race. That's fine and dandy. But and that goes, you got some Hispanic folks, some Asian folks, they don't like their own kind. That's fine and dandy, I guess, for some. But please don't let it be for some kind of stereotypical default in the culture, whatever. Because whatever you're running from, you go find it in another culture. So y'all can just so y'all can throw that theory out the window. It got a loud mouth, stinky attitude, women all across the globe. And then you got same thing with the fellas. You don't want a black man because of this and that. You want to get your white man. Well, they, I guess all white men got good credit. All of them rich. All the black men just low down dirty bums. Huh? Dog, that you picked the wrong one. So like I said, it got some nastiness in all cultures. That spirit ain't just isolated in one group now. I just put that out there. Don't okay, you want to run away from nasty attitude? Oh, okay, just nasty attitudes all across the world. So don't yeah, don't let that fool you now. Matter of fact, when I'm thinking about it, I used to deliver appliances. We used to install appliances in people's homes, washing dryers and stuff like that. It had to be a white couple. No, the lady was had me and another guy was there. And the lady was no real nice to us. I mean, just treat us with respect, just real nice, just kind of speaking to us, and she went on by her way. Then her husband showed up, and we got done. We packed up our tubes, and no went outside. He said, I could chuckle about it. This guy said, "Oh, y'all just gonna leave me here with her?" And so I guess right before we got there, she must have been giving him some trouble. He was saying, "Yeah, man, she been on me all day, y'all. Y'all just gonna leave me here with her?" So it touches all races now. So don't please. Y'all need to kill that stereotype right there. I'll let you take from here.
Yeah, I'm a personal witness of that myself, and unfortunately, that's one of the things that hinders people, the stereotype, just kind of like what we're saying, not just in this whole thing with race relations between different cultures, but also in how people choose a mate. They think, if they avoid one race and choose one race over another, that things will work out better and things like that because of stereotypical reasons, and I, to me, I've learned no matter what the race, it's got hurt women across the board, and if they're hurt, a lot of times it's going to come across as hostility, and so No, you don't avoid nothing. You know, a woman is a woman. If she's hurt, she might give you the devil, you know, unto the Lord heal her. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that people fall into that mindset of avoiding races and choosing to date one race over the other because they think that there's a benefit over, you know, the cultures might be a little bit different, but, you know, the devil, though, since when does the... What stops the devil from crossing state lines and into other nations? You know, he's the devil all over the place. And as far as I know, he don't discriminate. You know, he didn't stop with black women as far as bitterness is concerned. The ones that are bitter, because all of them aren't, that's across the board. You know, people are people everywhere. And we have to learn to get out of that looking at skin tone and thinking, you know, because somebody's skin is a little bit different than ours, that they may act different. You know, that's it, the devil is the devil everywhere. You know, and he intends on breaking up homes, and he intends on, you know, because black people aren't the only ones getting divorced. You know,
oh no,
you know, so he intends on breaking up homes and causing trouble everywhere. And so we have to be just like what you were saying at the beginning of the show. Spiritual minded, you know, and look at things spiritually. You know, I was, of course, at one time I was married to, my ex-wife was white. And, you know, I didn't know, Brother Harold, I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think anything of it. You know, I didn't go out looking for it. My mindset wasn't, I wasn't looking for that, if that makes any sense. That just so happened to be the woman that I got interested in, and it wasn't because of her skin tone or anything like that. But I'm sharing this to say this. And, of course, you know, she and I didn't make it. We ended up divorcing after 13 years of marriage. But here's what surprised me during our marriage. There were a lot of people our skin color who were... who showed their true colors, who were upset because in their minds, how dare you marry outside of your race? And I wasn't thinking anything of it. You know, I didn't know that how ugly people could get behind that. You know, I was treated like I had betrayed the whole race.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm talking about saved folks. You know, like you done crossed the line. And I thought, you know, me personally, I didn't see skin color. You know, I understood what her race, you know, her skin tone was and, you know, what nationality she was. But I didn't purposely go after her because of her skin color, and things like that. But what surprised me and what bothered me was the response. You know, that I received from my own people, like as if I had just committed the unpardonable sin, you know. And I thought, and I guess I would think, you know, concerning the saints, I sure hope you don't think you're going to heaven being a racist. You know, it was just amazing to me. I think in those instances, I saw that there's a lot of racism in our people as well.
For sure.
You know, and my prayers is that that's something that we'll deal with and that we'll get out of our hearts, you know, before we leave here, you know, before we stand before God, because God don't like racism, period. You know, we're all the sons and daughters. The Bible says that Eve is the mother of all living. And so, you know, the only thing that brought about the different skin tones was what happened at the Tower of Babel, you know, when God divided mankind with the speech, you know, with giving us different languages. And of course, different people found other people that were speaking and that they could hear, and they just moved to different regions and different areas of the earth. And just depending on how close they were to the equator, that's what decided whether or not they were going to get a tan or not. But, it had nothing to do with God didn't create black people. He didn't create white people. The sun gave us our skin tones, you know, and so we need to me, we need to quit making this big issue out of what the sun did.
Oh yeah. Hey, somebody named A-Town, if you come on back, sorry about that, A-Town. You can come on back if you want to, man. That sums it up. You know, maybe we'll get to this next time. I wanted to touch on how we should handle immigrants, but we're not gonna, we don't have time to get into that right now. Before we get out of here, I just want to touch on last week. I got to apologize to y'all on towards the end of the show. I got hit with a text. You know, sometimes I get these text messages. A lot of time y'all won't even know about it, but this one right here was just, you know, just a little bit too much there. You know, instead of rejoicing, I went into the defense mode. While we're here, now Pastor Bourne, let me ask you a question. Now you remember we were talking about last week's show, had an email about doing full-time ministry. Mm-hmm. And you know, I made it known that I was that like for weeks, like 4 or 5 weeks, you know, I kept getting hit with that question. No, what do I think is all right for a man not to be working? You know, living off of whatever. That's not Bible. Now, at any time, did I give you the name of the person that was saying all this stuff?
No, you didn't.
Okay, and neither did I come on air and get the person's name. And that seemed to be the problem there. That was a topic. You know, I hate to bring up old stuff. No, I wasn't even going to talk about. I was pretty much just gonna leave it alone. But the way things were flowing, hey, you know, that was all God's doing there. Mm-hmm. That needed to be brought out. There were some people don't realize, you know. Now you heard that I did not tell him what we talked about. I just spoke in general, like everybody else hearing right now. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, yeah, I've been getting this question like the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. No names mentioned.
No names.
So if you could be you tell him about what I said. No, I ain't telling him that. He don't know who you are. I ain't put your name out there. So you convicted, hey, you better take it and run with it. Mm-hmm. You're hearing yourself. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I don't know how that might have came out on YouTube over there, but enough be enough. Mm-hmm. You know, and also the Bible do say in Romans 14, let not your good be evil spoken of. Mm-hmm. So, hey. This is Ross Spiegel. Mm-hmm. What y'all expect? And we just go keep it real. Mm-hmm. As long as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. And right now, you want to tell people how they can contact you or give them your website or how they can subscribe to your channel.
All right. Our website is www.onetruth.tv. That's www.onetruth.tv. You can email us at gtdministries@gmail.com, and our YouTube channel is youtube.com/hawkbolden. That's HAWKBOLDEN. And so I just want to reconfirm what you were saying, Brother Harold. I did not, you didn't tell me any names. In fact, I don't even think you told me anything, or you said anything to me about any messages you had been receiving. This didn't come out until the email was sent. Right. You know, and just like you said, I just believe the Lord wanted to address that, you know. And my prayer is that the listeners, whoever may be offended at that, that they would just receive that, you know. Sometimes when people have something in their heart towards people, they can, it to them, it come across like you have something in your heart towards them, you know. And that's not the case. You know, I'm just me personally, and anybody that's in full-time ministry, it's just doing God's will. I just want to see people get saved. And this just happened to be the way God have instructed me to do it. And my prayers is that people will be able to, you know, get over get over that, not take that to heart. You know, like what was said last week, the Bible says wisdom is justified of her children. In other words, the fruit will tell whether or not God called for it. And so my prayers is that this is something that whoever has a problem with it, you know, that they will, you know, if it don't concern you, then just be open-minded about it, you know, and it's in the word. So, you know, my prayer is that people will learn to just receive the Bible and what it says, versus putting their own feelings into it. Cause to me, that's a big part of the problem. People process the Bible and interpret the Bible based on their feelings and their emotions and what they have personally gone through. And that's not God's will.
Yeah, that's the show. So, yeah, I can't add no more to it. I can't reiterate any more. That's the direction God wanted it to go. And that's the way we went. So maybe next time we might touch on the migrants, how we should handle them. What the Bible says about that, we didn't get time to cover that. Well, maybe we'll touch on that next time.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to subscribe to Pastor Bolden's YouTube channel. You can subscribe to the Ross Fields channel. Not so new. It ain't nothing but a bunch of letters and numbers for right now until I can qualify and put a name on it. But y'all see it, y'all subscribe to it, share it, and like it. So until then, it's a bunch of letters and numbers. I ain't gonna put that on there. We get a little more established, and y'all can subscribe to it. I want to thank y'all for tuning in. Thank Pastor Bolden for helping me out again. And until next time, y'all enjoy your weekend, and we'll do this again.
All right, next thank Friday. You. Thank you,
y'all have a good.
I'll be right back.
Sure, thank you. Hey, Tom, go ahead. Unmute your mic.
I gotta say something over to Mike tonight. All right. You hit a nerve.
How you brothers doing?
Doing okay, sir.
All right. I got one question. Do you think it's a bigger agenda with I'm not racist or anything. I'm just saying, like, with black people, like with rap music and the how to put this together, like a bigger, do you get what I'm saying? Like the agenda, like with the rap music and like the aim at the black, man or black community is what I'm saying. Like, do you think it's a deeper agenda? You get what I'm saying with the rap music and how,
yeah.
Okay, not only that, with the gangs, like, remember the Bloods and Crips, right?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So, do y'all think that's a different, like a deeper agenda towards that race of people? Is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, it look like it is. You know, with the rap music and things of that nature. You'll find that those guys don't live that lifestyle, shooting and killing. And guess what? Them young people hear that, they're out there shooting, they're out there killing. And those big time like Tupac Shakur and Big and all them, they don't do that stuff. Ice-T, they ain't about that life. So that's my point of view. I don't know, Pastor Bowden might go a little deeper, but yeah, sometimes these rappers, you know, these lyrics to get to people's head. And
so, so what I was saying is, like, why was it aimed at that particular type of people? Like, it could have been pushed on any other group. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this. It's not just rap music. So it's not, rap music was targeted, was maybe have been targeted towards us as a group, but that's because that's the genre that we particularly subscribe to, you know, for the most part in music. But then you have another group that's being targeted as well. It ain't just, it's not just black people that's being targeted with music, you know.
No, I understand that. Yes, I understand that clearly.
Yeah, Caucasians were targeted with rock music. And so what you have is not whites against blacks, as far as, you know, it's really you're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places, and the devil is not racist. He wants all mankind to go to hell. And so towards us, it might be rap music. Towards another group of people, it might be rock music. And then towards another group of people, it's going to be K-pop, you know. You know,
that makes sense.
You know, and so
that makes sense.
He's working on all fronts. It's just, you know, I think, you know, we have to work on, to me personally, we have to work on what we allow to go on in our homes and things like that. Because, you know, I put it this way,
he froze up there.
Rap music,
like I said, it's Bloods and Crip. There may be somebody behind that. I'm not sure. But the Bloods and Crip, them gangs, they really messed up the community as a whole. I think those organizations was meant to protect the community, if I ain't mistaken. I think what the Crips was for. Well, I think it was the Black Panthers, but it just got turned into something totally different now.
Do you think they was like infiltrated or something?
That's a good question. Like they all got seen. Maybe it was. You know, they all got looking at about J. Edgar Hoover, you know, infiltrating the Black community. I ain't get a chance to read. It's a possibility. That they was planting some leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a possibility.
And
what you said, Brother Bowden, was right, you know, spot on. Like, you know, they do target other races too. Like, but it was like, okay, like the crack epidemic and stuff like that. Like, and I know that it spread to other communities, but it was like hit hard in that one particular community. Like, you don't understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I was just asking, do you think it's like a deeper agenda or something like that? We don't know. Like, we don't see.
I mean, yeah, I think there's a deeper agenda, that's for sure. You know, I think there's a deeper agenda. And I don't doubt that, you know, our race of people have been targeted and things like that. I'm just saying that bigger picture is also the devil don't care who gets caught in a dragnet.
You know? True.
Yeah, he don't care who gets caught in it. You know, it might have been, we might have been the target. And several things in as far as that goes, but we have to look at, you know, if we're spiritually minded, we have to look at what was the devil's agenda behind it, you know, because we weren't the only ones hooked on crack.
No, because no, yeah, you're right, and because they have put another. There was another drug that came out here. It was what, I don't know if it was crystal meth, and it hit the white community hard. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. The devil don't care.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir. So, I, you know, thank y'all for y'all time. Appreciate it. I just wanted to ask those questions. That's all.
Oh, no problem, man. Yeah, anytime.
All right. Maybe I come back on next Friday?
Oh, yeah. Nothing happened.
What is what topic you guys will be talking about?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, I'm always tuned in and watching you guys. So, you know, God All bless right. you.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right, now.
All right. All right, man. All right, man. Again, I